in the air, can't you? It's 33 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of September. September, yes. That's the genius word right there. September in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. Live from the flushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. We are live in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to be part of today's program, and why wouldn't you? Why, in the name of sweet Jehovah and all that is holy, would you prefer not to be part of this radio program? The mind is boggled. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Want to email? You can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. RickEmerson.com. You know it's going to be a great day because we've got Tom Cruise news you could not possibly use. It's really just another excuse to talk about Bronze, the baby leavings. But that's okay because I got a picture.
I have it on my website too.
That's one. All I have to say is I don't know if the leavings are regulation size as well. I believe that baby has some sort of a problem. There's some sort of an issue with that baby and its evacuative systems. It's all very unpleasant. Also, because we've got this headline today, human cannonball injured after missing target. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be the best show ever. It's going to be one of the best summers we've ever had. Amity, as you know, means friendship. It's 503-733-2970. If you're calling in right now, the phones are just ringing incessantly, not being answered. That's because Scotty J is apparently busy getting lunch for people at stations he doesn't work for. It's okay. It's not like his review's coming up. It's not like the end of the month is approaching or anything. You know what I got here in my hand, Scotty J? You know what I got right here? An application from another bushy-tailed, bright-eyed young man who'd like to be an intern. Just saying. I keep those things in a special pile. All right. It's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com today. Just a moment. We'll welcome Mailman Chris to the Rick Emerson Show. I just want to interrupt this little opening segment to tell you that Tim Riley right now is hunched over in a fascinated ball reading the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Well, the question here is, in this ad, do you need pea and bean shelling equipment?
Well, who does? Well, who doesn't, really?
Well,
really,
well, these machines are efficient, smooth running, easy to operate. And here's a woman, not a man, operating one by herself.
Oh, that's fantastic. A woman who I think is now dead because this was taken in 1952. Let's all stop to acknowledge the humorous nature of the phrase pea shelling equipment, by the way. Do you need... The thing about it is that this implies that there are thousands of people out there who are walking around every day.
These are jobs Americans don't want to do.
This is fantastic. This, you know what this pea and bean shelling thing, and that's a phrase that's never going to get old. The phrase pea and bean shelling equipment has myriad uses. The thing about this machine is this... Oh, we got to write for the free brochure.
See, it's fascinating. There are people snowbound in red states wondering what to do with their time.
I got all this free time and all these beans.
That's the demographic that they're searching for.
The thing about this...
Because it's going to be cold and snowy this winter. Therefore, you have
find that hard to believe.
Time to inquire about this pea and bean machine.
The thing about the pea and bean shelling machine here, in the Old Farmer's Almanac, which I am now holding in my hands, this looks like one of those machines that would eventually result in some sort of hideous, gut-wrenching story that would ruin your lunch. Let me just say what we're all thinking. This woman's going to be pulled into this machine and shelled alive.
On Christmas Eve.
She's going to be shelled of her skin. That's what she's going to be shelled of. Whether you're a small gardener or a professional grower, the famous Little Sheller, that's in quotes. I wish it was a Lil Sheller. or one of our commercial... I can't even read today. The famous Little Sheller, or one of our commercial hollers, will take all the work out of your pea and bean shelling. Does that sound like a euphemism for something? Never mind. Just in the kitchen doing some pea and bean shelling. Husband's neglecting her. These machines are efficient, smooth, running, and easy to operate. For a free brochure, right? Talmadge, Georgia. Home of the Little Sheller for 47 years. And then right below that, look at this woman holding the amazing 20-pound mantis tiller.
That's handy.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a one-year risk-free home trial.
You're still alive.
With painted serpentine tines. Who really cares that much about what the tines on your tiller are painted? All right,
there you go. Thank you.
That's fantastic. And just here's why we're reading out of the Old Farmer's Almanac, by the way. You haven't turned into KPAM by mistake, which I think would probably be the only way you do that at this point. But we got, this was probably meant for them, actually. This was probably headed to Tom Parker. And it just ended. I got to quit making fun of that guy. It just ended up over here through some error in the Postal Service. No offense to Chris or Justin or anybody. But
wow. Yes. Award-winning toileting aid allows users to wash themselves clean with the press of a button when wiping becomes difficult. You can write for free brochure there, too.
Do I get a one-year trial on that, too?
I don't know.
Can we all acknowledge the phrase, wiping is unpleasant? Wiper! But then they list the reasons why that might become difficult. Allows users to wash themselves clean, as opposed to just washing yourself adequate. I've washed myself kind of smelly and smeared, actually. when it becomes difficult due to, what do you think is among the first things they list? It's for reasons why cleaning.
Arthritis?
No. Well, they do list arthritis, to be fair. Think Midwest. Think Red State. Think George Bush voter. Oh, come on. What is the unifying trait, and I'm speaking physically now, of everybody we know that probably voted for George W. Bush, other than the fact that they're white?
Stupidity?
No, I said physical.
Oh.
Although it could be argued, perhaps. Yes, it's obesity, kids.
Oh.
If you can no longer reach your own folds... Let the award-winning toileting aid.
Awful.
What sort of awards do you suppose this one? Is there some sort of a dinner that they have every year?
They're presented by Jack Black
and Dick Van Patten.
I'm gonna put that right over there.
You just continue to browse that, Tim Riley.
So that's the answer to the question. Why do they keep printing this? It's a never-ending source of amusement.
It's, you know what it is? It's sort of like getting all your year's parade magazines at once.
Mm-hmm.
So someone inadvertently sent us the Old Farmer's Almanac.
The brand new version.
The brand new one. Really nowhere else to go with that. Come back to that later, I imagine. The phrase toileting aid, though, here is... That is, you know why that rings a little weird on the ears? Is because it implies toilet as a verb. In other words, where's John? He had to go toilet. Which is one of those things that I guess is probably a holdover from maybe England. Maybe that's a holdover from the way we used to speak in the colonial days. But it just sounds goddamn stupid now. It just makes you sound like Little Abner.
Choir robes, $31.95 and up. Expert tailoring.
A fire robe?
Choir robe.
Oh, I thought a fire robe was just sort of you put it on and just, choir robe.
The many uses of vinegar.
Okay. I seriously want to get one of those tillers, though, and just till. I'm going to go just till stuff you can't possibly till for a year and then return. Till cement. Just go and just till, you know, just till super glue and, you know, just everything. Stuff you till bowling balls with it and then just send it back. Is there a website for the toileting aid? Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out. Right. Oh, my. Oh, what are these? I thought they were baked potatoes.
Are those a woman's bosoms?
I'm trying to...
Oh, they're elbows.
Oh, okay. Your elbows.
Oh,
are you sure?
Yes.
Restore your skin to a healthy, clearer state.
With this tilling aid.
Yes.
Maybe that's the woman
that
who
really
can,
did look pornographic from over here.
Maybe that's the woman who can no longer clean herself due to obesity.
I'm looking for that out again.
All right, let's move forward. You're really gross today.
Well, here it is. ComfortSeatAid.com.
Okay. So if you're having difficulty, if you just end up with a lot of streaking because of your obesity, and you need a toilet that cleans you at the push of a button, is it? So it's just a bidet is just what it is, right?
Yeah, it's a modern-day bidet.
It's one of those days where everything is funny. You know what it is?
A one-man sawmill turning timber into cash. Economical, it's personal size. New and improved. I don't know what the bugs were in this before, but you know? they've improved it.
They've removed all the pesky bugs out of that one-man sawmilling operation.
There it is. Is that a woman running?
Lionel Hutz has ensured that they've been...
Good God.
You know, one-man sawmill operation. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a story in one of those true rugged adventure magazines. Mm-hmm. It was a one-man sawmilling operation for the war. All right. This is just like that episode of MASH. We'll be passing around a Sears catalog later and reading a mystery together. All right. Well, before we do anything else, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the man who delivers the Old Farmer's Almanac and many other items.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend Mailman Chris, official stenographer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Rick. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, I'm still able to clean all the areas, so I guess that puts me one up on many people in God's green world. All right, so where are we at push-up-wise right now in my life? It's 41, isn't it?
41.
That's what I'm talking about. It is trending that the tote board is falling and will continue to do so. All right, are you delivering today, sir?
I am.
All right. You deliver a lot of farmers' almanacs, do you?
You know, I can't remember seeing any.
All right.
Well, we had the first coffee.
Yeah, they rushed it to us. Because it's got to last you for the whole... Now, is it not true, Tim Riley, that the Old Farmer's Almanac, and when I say Old Farmer, that is the name of the... I'm assuming everybody knows what we're talking about. Sir, right. You know the Old Farmer's
Almanac,
don't you?
There are other Farmer's Almanacs, but the original and best is the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Are you familiar with the Old Farmer's Almanac?
I've heard of it. I don't know what's in it.
You lived in Bremerton. There's hicks there.
Not really. They're more city hicks than, like, farm hicks.
The Old Farmer's Almanac, you've heard what it is.
No, gentlemen farmers and Republicans read this.
It is a thing that they originally started giving to rural folk, because they talked about it gave you information for the whole year, and it would tell you about what the expected rainfall was to be in your area, gardening tips, and when I say gardening tips, I mean farming tips.
Don't interfere with something that ain't bothering you none.
And also handy life lessons. And wiping help. But we got this every, because my parents were idiots and toothless, we got this every year at my house. Every year in Kennewick, it was an exciting day when the Old Farmer's Almanac would come. But here's the thing about the Old Farmer's Almanac.
You can find all the predicted temperatures in Toledo for the entire year, as well as Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
Is that... The exciting
year in Sioux Falls.
The exciting thing about this.
And there are graphs of predicted temperatures.
What is it going to be like in Toledo, Tim?
Well, Toledo, let me tell you. Oh, darn it, I lost it.
That's okay, we'll come back. Here's the thing about the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Well, Toledo will be 41 degrees on the 6th of next month.
Just in case you're wondering. Is that in the upper left-hand corner of the Farmer's Almanac... And you all who have read it, now I am old enough to remember reading this when it was not a straight-backed book, when it was sort of just
smaller.
Stapled the middle and folded over. It was just sort of a softer paper. And the fact that it used to be a softer paper is directly related to the fact that there is, and has always been, in the upper left-hand corner of this, a hole drilled all the way through it. The hole is drilled, if you look at a copy of the Old Farmer's Almanac, you might actually be able to buy it at Powell's. I'm sure that it's probably in the periodical section, because it is sort of interesting in a bizarre way. You have to wait. This is sort of like having the advanced Harry Potter. And so you can hang it on a hook, where? In the outhouse. And that is directly related to the fact that the pages are soft, strong, and thoroughly absorbent. And I am not making that fact up. It's a known... That is how the simple salt of the earth, that's how they live. Waste not, want not. All right, Chris, we're going to get to some things today. We have watchers today, but I got to tell you, I actually don't even know what they are. Tim, what would you say we have watch-wise today?
I'll just talk about something. Penis and Britney.
There you go, man. Penis watch. Britney watch. The Britney watch is not all that exciting. It's really just a chance to play the sounder and make fun of her hick husband, who apparently has some... He has a gig on CSI, isn't that it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's CSI. Kevin Federline got some job acting. It's all very exciting. Jim Roop is going to join us later on. You know what we never talked to Jim Roop about was Keira Phillips.
We're going to play her top 10 later.
Do we have it? We have it. Keira Phillips was on Letterman last night doing the top 10 reasons to leave your microphone on in the bathroom or something like that. You know, one of those things where that's become the new thing, where something embarrassing happens, like you pick up a hooker with a penis. You pick up a hooker that has a penis. That you then go on Letterman to sort of get ahead of the situation, as they say. And get spin control. Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City Duran will both be in studio later on to talk about Hollywoodland, which was a new noir film starring Ben Affleck, in as much as anything can really star Ben Affleck now, about George Reeves, who played Superman in the 50s. Tim Riley has also seen that, but he is reserving comment.
Yes.
He is holding comments until they review it. It is embargoed, as they say. So they'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. I got a bunch of email, because I kind of casually mentioned the other day that I hadn't seen Deadwood, but that it's just sitting on DVD at my house. And Sarah's roommate, Manuel, gave it to me on DVD, just burned me some copy. Not that I advocate that kind of thing, but he gave it to me, and I haven't watched it. It's just sitting on my coffee table, no disrespect. But I get all this email, people telling me that I'm a fool for not having watched it. Which brings up a whole pile of other emails we've got about TV shows. We'll try to get to that stuff later on as well. Let's see. And we will talk to Scotty J. Scotty J sent me this email from an excitable young lad named Tim something or other. Tim? I didn't get to him soon enough. He's already gone to Mount Hood and got information about their broadcasting program. I think it may be too late to save him. Well, we'll talk about that as well. I'm not going to tease a whole lot, but I think we're going to get to a whole lot. Chris, have you got all that, sir?
I've got a penis watch, a Britney watch, Jim Roop, Scott Daly, Aaron Geek in the City. You're going to get to some emails about TV and Scotty J talking about Tim wanting information from NHCC.
Did you really just call it that? MHCC?
Yeah.
All right. Is that what the kids call it? Is that what it's called on the street? It's not called... It's like calling it like Special A or Goofballs or something? All right. There you go. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you ever deliver packages that you suspect, for whatever reason, Chris, are illicit? In other words...
Yeah.
Really? And when I say illicit, I don't mean it's porn. I mean, do you ever... I'm just saying, off the record, just between you and me. Do you ever deliver a package and you have... I mean, you... It just seems... Like there's something inside that is perhaps untoward, that they've labeled it or they've marked it in some way where they're really trying not to draw attention to what is clearly a package containing something illegal.
You mean like when Mitch Burke says the FedEx guy is his drug dealer and doesn't even know it?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Well, I knew a woman, and this is really a friend of a friend, who would mail things, and her whole... And there's a character in a book, Microsurf, that does the same thing, actually, where she would send the Mary Jane. She would send a pot through the mail, but her whole thing was to wrap it in those perfumey and cologne-covered paper strips that you get out of the middle of fashion magazines. Anyway, so I'm just saying, do you ever deliver a package and you think that you suspect that there's something evil inside?
I can't say that I would immediately have recognized that, but
right.
I'll keep my eye out.
I'm just checking. All right, thank you, sir.
Sorry.
Right, you're checking there at the end of the hour. That's Mailman Chris on the Rick Emerson Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined here, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You're all right?
The old Farmer's Almanac wasn't too thrilling for me.
The Farmer's Almanac is the most... How dare you say that? It's because you're still able to...
In the privacy of one's home when nobody else is looking.
I was just going to say, that's because you're still able to reach all the areas. Someday, Sarah, you will remember this day. And you'll say to yourself, if only I had the handy... Whatever it is, the thing to clean me at the push of a button. All right.
I think I saw a picture of Vince McMahon in here, but I'm not sure.
What are they? Him and like Robert Loggia and just... I never thought that I would need this kind of product, but let me... there's nothing to be ashamed of. Late night last night?
No, well, I went home early and then went back out.
I'm only saying this because you called me at 11:45 wanting information about Ultimate Fighting.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, my friends were having an argument about how Ultimate Fighting Championship is the last real sport there is.
It's true.
And so I was saying, because I don't know who these guys are, and I was telling them that we had... you know, they're raving about these two local guys, and I couldn't remember their names. Yeah. And I knew you would.
No, it's true. We had we've had Matt the Law. What is the deal with the phone just ringing now? Is Scotty just not in the room?
I have no idea.
Seasons. Yeah, okay. No, it got picked up. See, as soon as I mentioned it, he wakes up from his slumber. Maybe he's back from getting Smokey's lunch. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the Ministry of Truth. That was Ed McMahon, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Fantastic.
TV's Ed McMahon.
What?
This is often called. His first name is TV's.
TV's. I like he can no longer even be associated with a specific show. It's just some guy you've seen on the... Well, it's like, what's her name? God, that woman from The Apprentice, and I forget her name because I only watched one season of The Apprentice. But it was some woman. Have you ever seen this when you're watching the television and they're trying to identify somebody as being famous, but they're clearly legally not allowed to tell where they're from?
Christopher Knight.
Really? Is that true?
TV's Christopher Knight.
Do they don't say the Brady Bunch is Christopher Knight?
And they always put an old picture of him in the corner, but don't offer any other explanation.
But it's not a Brady. Well, they just sort of... See, Christopher Knight, though, they just sort of... I guess he's been on television so much, and we've spent so many hours of our lives watching him.
He doesn't look that much.
Well, no, and he's got a baby face. He's never aged. I'm thinking more of the... There was this woman, I think her name was Jill, but she was on the Apprentice, I think, two seasons ago. And now she's selling that, what is that thing, the bedazzler? That thing that lets you put hideous plastic rhinestones all over your clothing, so you can go pick up a pimp somewhere, in case you're trying to join a stable, you can put, you know, like Jenny in like huge sparkling things across your bulging stretch mark covered midsection, and she'll come in and she in the commercial she says something to the effect of like, you know, well, I may not have gotten hired, but I have gotten the bedazzle, or just something retarded, trying to remind you that she was on The Apprentice. In any event, have we already teased the news?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay. We're all just so distracted by the Old Farmer's Almanac, which had an article entitled, Watching the Weather. It's a guide!
Well, thank you all, would you, to watch it. It includes wind, clouds, precipitation and temperature. Charts, advice, and explanation. Now you can predict and plan your own weather.
Okay. It's your guide to watching the weather.
And that's an advertised special in here because it's...
That's a sponsored feature?
No, it isn't.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, the U.S. military in Iraq is looking to pay a PR firm $20 million a year to write and promote positive stories on what we're doing there.
Attention to Lane.
A little bit too late for this one, as cold-blooded carnage is soaring in Iraq, according to the Pentagon. Scotty gave me that. Portland is saying the most dog-friendly city in the U.S. Britain's Channel 4 will air a documentary on the fictional assassination of the president, and Kira Phillips delivers her top 10 on Letter.
Fantastic. All right. And we'll have a chance to talk about this later on. We got Bob Costantini coming on. By the way, I made a special phone call this morning to CNN. Here's a little secret. So Laura Caviezel, who is very good at her job, she stays at the office late. She stays at that scene because they're 3 hours ahead of us, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
I called the office at like 9 o'clock last night, her time, and she answered.
What?
It's a little creepy, actually.
Maybe things aren't going so well in that engagement of hers.
Oh.
Maybe she's staying late to help Larry King.
Why would she?
I cannot reach these tender areas anymore. Can you? I cannot even reach the button for one-touch cleansing. Can you please come in here and press this button?
So did she answer and did you hang up?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you high? Of course I hung up. No, I was calling CNN last night to leave a voicemail about how Bob Costantini, because I felt bad yesterday because the emailer clearly hit it on the head that when we called Bob Costantini or when he called us, he was not on the road or on the, because he calls us from the train usually, from the rail, on the phone. But yesterday he was so awkward with us and just seemed so uneasy. And the guy clearly hit it on the head later when he said that Bob was at his studio, which he said he was, surrounded by coworkers, maybe his supervisors, and he didn't feel like it could be his normal cut-up. So I know we're going to break here in a second, but I really wanted to stress that Bob is great and we do love having him on, and, you know, and I don't want to make him awkward and whatever. So it's like 6 o'clock our time, like 9 o'clock their time. I'm like, I'll call. Because you do that thing sometimes where you call when you know they're not going to be around. You call and you know you can go right to voicemail. Because there's people you just don't want to talk to sometimes. And it's the sweetest thing. Have you ever done this? You call And it's like, it doesn't even ring. You call and you're like, dit, 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 and then it's, you know, all of a sudden you hear the,
hi, this is da 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 da, and I'm not in the office today, but you're like, score!
But I call, man, at like 9 o'clock her time. Ring, and I hear the,
CNN radio, this is Laura.
Hung up. Just completely hung up. So, but this morning, I got in early, like 7:45 this morning. I called, and Tyler wasn't there, but I left Tyler a message. And I sent an email off, actually. And then I did have Scotty relay the message to Laura today. Bob Costantini's worth his weight in gold. You love that guy. All right, we'll get Bob Costantini. We'll talk about the Delana contest as well. All the information for that is posted at rickemerson.com, incidentally. And later on, we have the the AM 970 noon news hour. You stay there. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. This is nothing but toiletry aids in here. I'm sorry, aids for toiletry. I swear. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Sarah, you don't understand the greatness of the Old Farmer's Almanac.
No, and all your comments about toilet aids are really grossing me out.
Your whole visage today, your whole facial expression is one of just being nonplussed by all our humor. Tim and I are giving you comedy gold today, and you just couldn't care less.
You know that I'm not amused by toilet humor.
This isn't toilet... Well, okay. I take it back. This is humor about actual toilets. It's not toilet humor so much as it is humor about a toilet. There's a difference. Toilet humor is sort of like a poo. You know, that's kind of a, you know, that's sort of a, like, I don't play, you will know.
Arjun, what kind of humor are you doing right now?
I'm talking
toilet
about.
Toilet aid humor?
This aid for toileting. I'm talking about, Sarah Dillon, this product called.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Do you want to know what it's called?
Okay, fine.
It's called the Incinolet, the electric incinerating toilet. You think I'm making it up? Look at that right there. No, I'm going to read you all the descriptions first.
Oh,
and then we'll get Bob Costantini.
Like
it is labeled, it is simply the best incinerating toilet on the market, by the way, according to this advertisement in the Old Farmer's Almanac. Do you need something to incinerate your waste? Well, who doesn't? If you have, let me just say this. If you have waste that actually needs to be incinerated, perhaps one should alter one's diet, huh? What do you think? Maybe a little less Mexican. Problem solved, it says in huge letters with a big exclamation mark. Need a toilet located conveniently? Incinolect is your best solution. Reduces waste to ash in seconds. Jesus Christ.
Really?
See, because here's the thing.
Can I see that?
No, I'm going to put it over here. And I'm not to tease you. But so we will remember, you know, that's external leverage. That's what Tony Robbins would call that. I'm putting it over here so you will prompt me to ask for it. You'll prompt me to give it to you later. And so that will remind me to continue my observation. Because now, it's time to cut short this toilet talk. And welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent and professional journalist, Bob Costantini. How are you, Bob?
All righty, Rick. But it's worth noting that we here at CNN have become very mindful about taking microphones into the bathroom with us.
Yeah, bada bing. Indeed, sir. That is, let me ask you this. When something like that, Kara Phillips thing, and I can't believe, I really ought to have my zany DJ credentials yanked and revoked for not bringing this up, yesterday. So, Kara Phillips, and we do have actual news to talk about, but this, I mean, is there a memo or something that goes out, or really is the fact that it's posted on YouTube everywhere on earth memo enough when somebody leaves a microphone on in the bathroom?
Well, I don't think there'll be any need for memos right now. Of course, I haven't seen any, and frankly, that's an Atlanta thing that they'd be doing. But it is one of those just moments that just happens. And
wouldn't you think that somebody would have noticed? I mean, Kara Phillips, if you're like the one person who doesn't know, was Bush was speaking about the hurricane and the rebuilding and the, what you know, the Flavin and the whatever, and Kara Phillips goes to the bathroom, and you hear a zipping sound at one point, which our newsman Tim Riley noted, and then she begins to disparage her family, specifically her sister-in-law, who apparently is a controlling freak, All of this going out on CNN live television while Bush is talking. And but, I mean, are the sound guys just asleep at the switch there in Atlanta? Or do you suspect that somebody didn't get enough of a Christmas bonus? And so that's just they're going to let that go out.
I'm sure that a lot of people got a good talking to about that. And, as you know, even if the microphone was left on, it's interesting to, you know, imagine why someone didn't at least notice it after a while.
Yeah. It is, isn't it?
That's management's handling. And I probably shouldn't even be talking to you about it. But
No. This is a legitimate story. And I know that this, you know what it is? This is what the blogger kids, Bob Costantini, would call meta. In which it is a CNN guy talking about something that is a story itself about CNN.
Mm-hmm.
It is just. And who was that? It wasn't. Who was it that came on afterward? Who was the woman who actually sort of took over the broadcast? That you're listening to coverage of George Bush. Who was that?
I don't know because
there was no Chiron on the TV. It didn't identify who it was.
I was following the audio here.
Yeah, and really, and no disrespect intended, but I don't get to watch a lot of CNN television, and so I could not identify her by voice, but it's all very, it's one of those things where you know that everybody must have been just scrambling. There was like no one noticed, pause in the action, and then everybody notices, and then suddenly it's a lot of slapping lavalier mics on and jumping over a desk to get on camera. It's not unlike that moment in Network when Howard Beale, this is a fantastic moment, when Howard Beale is saying, I would like to let you know that I'll be retiring in 2 weeks due to poor ratings, since this television program was the only thing I had going for me in my life. I have decided to kill myself 1 week from today. Ought to get a 50 share easy. And like then they cut to the newsroom. No one's listening. Everyone is just talking about going to Elaine's that weekend. So anyway, well,
that stuff does happen.
You can say you were there when it happened, but you can tell your grandchildren about it.
She was good natured about it. As you know, she did the David Letterman top 10.
Which we are going to be playing later. I heard it was fantastic. I don't mean to make light of this situation in Iraq. I really don't. But there's the thing I was going to talk to you about, and then there's the thing that sort of developed is subsequent to that time. First of all, I know that George Bush was talking to some Legionnaires on Thursday, and he was talking about George Bush has been likening either Iraq or the war on terror to the Cold War. One of the two. Is it he's comparing Iraq to the Cold War or the war on terror to the Cold War?
He is, in a sense, comparing the war on terror to the Cold War and to the defeat of Nazism and fascism in Europe during World War II. And it was an apropos audience, I guess, to make that kind of comparison, the American Legion convention there in Salt Lake City. But it's the overall war on terror that he is he's saying this about, because, as I think I mentioned to you guys somewhat yesterday, he wants the American people to understand that, the Hezbollah guerrillas, the insurgents in Iraq, and, Al-Qaeda, which, of course, carried out the 9/11 attacks, all part of the same, wants to make them all part of the same movement, which is Islamic extremism. And he has used the term Islamic fascism on a couple of occasions. He did not use it yesterday, as I recall.
Is that one of those terms that he sort of tests out somewhere when he says Islamic fascism? Is that, I don't mean to sound cynical about this, but is that some focus-grouped phrase or something that Karl Rove sort of brainstormed, and then he's going to try it out in a small market and see how it plays and then roll it out?
Well, I certainly don't know if they, test-marketed it, so to speak, but he had not said it until some more recent speeches, from what I remember. Mm. And it's the sort of thing that, you say it, and then you wait to see how bad the reaction or how strong the reaction might be.
Didn't he have some phrase like this that he used a couple years ago when this unpleasantness started? Something about, it kind of wasn't a jihad, but it was something like that. Wasn't it Operation, we had, the government had some Operation Enduring Freedom or ongoing struggle or permanent jihad or permanent revolution or something. And it turned out that perhaps advertently it came out of the Quran or something. It was clearly intended as some slap in the face of whatever. It does seem to me that comparing this to the Cold War is not really going to get the support of a whole lot of Americans, because I don't know that everybody looks back and goes, yeah, I miss those days of the Cold War. Those were good times.
Well, he's trying to rally the nation, really, to get behind the war on terror and trying to bolster the nation's opinion of what's going on in Iraq. And as I know you're planning on talking to me about, there is a quarterly report that just came out by the Pentagon. It's mandated by Congress, and it does not paint a very good picture about the situation going in Iraq.
Well, when you said I was planning on talking about it, you're exactly right, because they, just as we were sort of booking this and getting it scheduled this morning, they said, I don't mean to pretend that I'm somehow like more in the loop and in the know than everybody else, but it, when they're saying this Pentagon report is indicating that there is a civil war, or there's the possibility, hasn't there been a civil war for a long time? Isn't that the whole deal? Like, they won't call it that, but isn't that the whole problem with Iraq, that there has been an ongoing civil war for some time now?
Well, certainly your definition of civil war could be very flexible. A lot of people, one man's civil war is another man's insurgent struggle, that kind of thing. It does point to the idea that there was a 15% rise in insurgent attacks in June, July, and August, and it's blaming Al-Qaeda specifically for targeting civilians, and there's a note that there is a 51% increase in Iraqi casualties during that 3-month period as well.
Well, all right then. It's just nothing but good news from over there.
Well,
oh, God. I mean, all right. That, and apparently, George Bush made some statement that if we don't fight them there, they're going to follow us home to the supermarket or something, apparently, too. So,
this report specifically made a point of saying that the conditions for civil war do exist, but it's not there just yet.
All right. Well, I'm sure that George Bush will let us know with a minimum of political spin exactly when we've entered that zone.
And Rick, I want to thank you while we're on the air for a second for the nice comments you've made to the powers that be here.
Oh, not at all, sir. No. That was not meant. I wasn't fishing for thanks or anything. No. You sir. See, here, let me. Can we speak frankly, just as men here?
Sure.
I know that this program has a touch of what we like to say in our marketing materials is irreverence. There's sometimes a little bit of a whimsical tone to the way we do this.
Right.
And I got to tell you, man, I don't know to what, not that it's all about us, but I don't know to what extent when you guys, for example, like Bob Costantini, for example, we see the name and it was Bob Costantini, let's get him on to talk about something. When you are first coming on this program and you have not been on the show with us before, you don't know who we are, we don't know who you are, I'm never sure what they tell people about this program when they first come on. And I will not name names, but in the past, there have been a handful of folks who came on and I think were either not told or were perhaps a little uneasy or did not necessarily jibe well with our particular brand of humor and political observation here. And so you have rolled with the punches really well. And you handle all of the dumb crap that I throw at you too. So anyway, so you're worth your weight in gold, which is what we told Laura and Tyler.
Thank you. I really appreciate
it. Dude, not at all, my friend. We're glad that we will have you back as long as you're doing your thing there, my friend.
My motto when I get on your program is be flexible.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
There you go. Have a good weekend, man. There you go. Bob Costantini on the Hill in Washington, D.C.
I just want to give him a hug.
He just seems so beaten down.
He does. And I looked for a picture of him on CNN.
No, because he's not listed.
He's not listed.
I'll tell you more about that in a second. This guy's been holding for a while. He is calling. Okay, Sarah, how would you pronounce this word on the screen? Alicid?
Oh, I think he's trying to say illicit.
Really? Scotty, are you trying to spell illicit? A-L-L-I-C-I-D. Okay. Roger, you're calling about Alicid package.
This will crack you guys up. I used to cancel meth and heroin addicts in Portland, and a few years ago, no kidding, a group of about 50 of them got together, and they were dealers. And what would happen is when they would run out, sometimes it would take 2 or 3 days to recoup, as the kids say it, and they would go through withdrawal, serious withdrawal.
Right.
So they came up with the brilliant idea of 2 weeks before they would run out.
By the way, I wanted to note in advance, CBS Radio is not encouraging anybody to do whatever he's about to say. Drugs are wrong and bad and illegal.
Horrible, wrong,
of course,
and bad.
Don't do this thing. But whatever, what is it, sir?
Well, they would send the drugs, the meth, or the heroin back to themselves, to their original address 2 weeks later, so when they would run out, they wouldn't have to go through those withdrawals while they were waiting.
So it's sort of like the Netflix of heroin.
Absolutely.
It's the Netflix of hard narcotics. You've sort of got it in a queue.
This is going on in Portland right now on a regular basis. The addicts sending themselves back their own drugs in the mail so that way, because what happens is they cannot refrain from doing all the drugs in the first 2 or 3 days that they get the drugs.
Right. You know, here's the thing about addicts. And again, I don't pass any moral judgment on people who do drugs. You know, whatever. They're illegal, and so there's that to consider. But I mean, morally speaking, whatever. I don't care. Some idiot wants to sit around and get smacked out all day. You know, whatever. Do whatever you got to do. You know, more life for the rest of us. All I'm saying is, there is, in a weird way, there is no one smarter and more ingenious than a really devoted drug user in some ways. You and I, we all know this. My brother Dave, and I've talked about this, I'm not spilling family dirt. My brother Dave had a serious drug problem with many, many, just one drug to another. He just daisy chained it. Just one drug to another. And I'm not saying drugs are, that the pot is a gateway drug, but he went from literally all the stuff that you make fun of. Sniffing glue, sniffing paint, pot, coke, you know, meth, all of that stuff. And man, he would just find the most ingenious way. Like, he would, I mean, it was like Shawshank Redemption crap with that guy, man, where he, you know, he was like tunneling, you know, putting like a secret little crawl space underneath the house, and then, you know, and then building like a fake hedge to put in front of it just so he could keep like an eighth or something inside of there. If the drug users would just harness all of the creativity and all of the brain power they use to hide their goddamn drugs, you know, we're going to cure cancer by now.
By the time they do that, their cells are still fried anyway.
That's what I'm saying. So there is a greater than likely chance that Chris the mailman is carrying around some drugs right now. Not on himself personally, but as part of the mail. Oh, and there we go. That was the law enforcement and Les Moonves deciding.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Scotty is sitting on the screen. He's noting on the screen, yes, he was trying to spell illicit. He spelled it as Alicid. He has now noted, buy me a spell check, please. Buy me is spelled B-Y.
Scotty has children, too.
Really? Can your children spell? Yes, okay. You know, the eighth pole doesn't fall too far from the tree, Scotty J.
Do you think the bad spelling thing is just a joke?
No, I do not believe. I am...
Oh, because I can't see his spelling. I can't see the whole tiny...
He types notes to me all day because we don't have... Because we're in love. LOL. No, because we don't have talk back. I spell some words right sometimes, he says. Because we don't have a closed circuit talk back. And so he has to type notes to me. It's sort of like an instant messenger program, but it's like a closed-circuit instant messenger.
Well, you can only read half the time so you can figure out what the words are.
That's the thing. And I read it, and sometimes it's like you have to shift your brain into a lower gear. And I don't mean that with Scotty J, just him. But, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever do this? And I don't mean to sound like a spelling Nazi, but, Sarah, you and I are both... We both take that very seriously. And you take punctuation seriously?
Yes, when people like to me, see you soon. Like, I can't do just a letter. I've got to spell everything out.
I can almost do that because they're not trying to spell something and screwing it up. It's like they're trying to do that and they do it. You know, like, I don't do either. Like, the later, like, I don't do L and then, like, 8 and then R.
I don't think anybody late. Does.
No, I've seen that. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with people who text. I'm very lucky right now that I got this new phone, the Q, where it's got the full, what they call the QWERTY. It's got the full keyboard. But if you're on your phone, I know that some people, they want to get the message out as soon as possible, which is where that Prince talk comes from. It's like, you be back late, you know, and it's, are you, you know, going tonight? And I guess because it's like you, you know, they just want to get the message out as soon as possible. That, to me, is not the same as when, like, did you ever get a note or an email or something from somebody that you thought was kind of, you always viewed as being sort of smart, and it's just, and it's like they couldn't spell their way out of a sack, you know, and it's just, and I know it makes me sound like a snob. It makes me sound like an intellectual and an elitist, and it's really not the case. It's just, I think that comes from, he's demanding, then get me a spell checker. Yes, because that's better than just learning how to spell correctly. That's better than learning how to read. I don't mean to knock Scotty J, but I'm saying that's where that comes from. You know what it is? It comes from, I believe. Again, I'm not trying to sound better than other people, but it does come, I believe, from not reading very much. I believe if you do not read, because there are people I know, and I will not mention any names, now, other than Scotty's. But there's somebody that you and I used to work with. And here, turn off your mic for a second. And we used to work with him. And, smart guy, really smart guy. Put him in front of a group of people. He was very, you know, knew how to talk, knew how to give, you know, kind of a commanding presence. Great idea guy. Man, but just you would get a letter from him or an email, and it just didn't make any...
How was he in the position he was in for so long?
Because he was a good talker. He talked good. Me speak pretty one day. Because he was in person, was able to make a very strong impression, and he had a very fluid oratorical style when you would be one-on-one with him. But, man, if he had to put anything down on paper, it just came out as just... I mean, it was like pidgin English. It was insane. So, all right, I didn't really need to get off the whole thing about that. We got a break here in a few because I want to try to start the news hour at the top, but we should talk about this Dahlonic contest really quickly.
Okay.
So, let me see, where is... Let's see, this is, you may remember this sound. See, it just makes me... It almost sounds like she's having to cough up some sort of goo. Oh, great. So, I don't know what the prize is going to be. I'll tell you that right now. We already gave away our Def Leppard Journey tickets. We did all that stuff already. But if you go to rickemerson.com right now, or if you go to our, if you go to the MySpace account, it's myspace.com/Rick Emerson. We have posted, because people asked, we were going to post it anyway, so many people wanted it. We posted the sound clip of Dahlonic crying, this sound here, which is, and the reason we posted it, and the blog headlines, because we like to laugh at the pain of others. No, it's because it's so fake. It's so obviously... That's a totally dry, fake cry right there. In no way is that... That's Dahlonic attempted to conjure up something that resembles human emotion to try to get the audience on her side, and it doesn't really work. So we have noted here that Dahlonic's sweet, sweet tears equal your opportunity for material gain. Go to rickemerson.com right now. It's the top blog entry for today. You can download that sound. Here's what we need. You, should you choose to accept this mission, I'll tell you right up front, I don't know what prize we're going to give away for this. We'll definitely give away one of our limited edition T-shirts that we've got and some other, and probably just some crap that, like, KUFO doesn't want. But here's what we need you to do. Go to rickemerson.com. You download that sound of Dahlonic, quote, crying. Yeah, I want you to create an audio composition of no more, absolutely no more than 60 seconds, and preferably no more than 30, in which Dahlonic's crying is used at least once. You can use it any way you want. Play it backwards, chop it up, use it to pretend it's something else, doesn't matter. No profanity, obviously, because the man is everywhere. Other than that, there are no rules. You send your completed audio composition. You send it as an MP3, by the way. Don't send it as like a... Don't send it some weird... as an OGG format or the Windows Media format or any of that crap. Send it as an MP3 to rick@rickemerson.com and put like, Dahlonic sound or whatever in the subject line so know what it is. And they must be received no later than next Wednesday morning, September 6th. But earlier is always better. So just create some sort of audio composition using Dahlonic's crying as an element. And you send that to us, and then the winner will get something. I don't know what it is. We'll give you something underwhelming from the bag of crap. So there you go. So you want more information on that? Go to rickemerson.com or go to our MySpace page, and you can find out more about it. Hey, we're breaking. Listen to that, kids. That was the right play because I just would have kept talking forever. All right, we come back. It's the AM 970 Noon News Hour featuring the one and only godlike Jim Riley. Later on, we'll talk to Jim Roop, Gary Baumgarten, Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com, as well as Aaron Duran. And we've got the Onion Radio news address from George W. Bush. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Card bills. You didn't expect to get so deep in debt, but now...